Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In 1996, a staff writer for the New York Times Magazine wrote an article attacking the idea that recycling could solve America's prolific production of garbage. Recycling may be the most wasteful activity in modern America, he wrote, a waste of time and money, and a waste of human and natural resources. That writer was John Tierney, and his claims that recycling was garbage were excoriated as too harsh and too early to judge. Nearly two decades later, John Tierney has written another piece for the Sunday Times and concludes that recycling in America is still an unsustainable model for reducing waste and carbon emissions. John Tierney is co-author of Willpower and writes the column Findings for the Science Times section of the New York Times and joins us now to discuss the reign of recycling, as he put it. John, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia.
So this is a very detailed and considered argument, but can you give me your kind of elevator pitch for why recycling is not worth it?
Recycling typically costs more than it does to landfill the trash. And while it makes sense to recycle some things like paper, cardboard, and metals, most of the other stuff in garbage is not worth recycling. It's expensive and it doesn't do much for the environment.
Okay, so it doesn't actually cut down on waste either?
Well, it cuts down on waste, but to me that's not a great goal in and of itself. The recycling movement began back in the 70s with the idea that we're running out of all these natural resources. And then it was heightened in the 80s by the fear that we're running out of space to bury our garbage. Both of these fears have not been borne out. There's plenty of room to bury garbage in environmentally safe landfills. We're not running out of these resources. There's no particular need. We have to save them. And the most precious resource we have, I think, is our time. That's the one resource that really gets more expensive through time. Natural resources tend to get cheaper, and I think we're wasting a lot of time and energy, you know, training children to sort garbage and, you know, giving sermons on recycling. And, you know, we should recycle the stuff that makes sense, and we shouldn't worry about the rest.
So people should feel relief hearing this, but people are angry. I remember actually reading your article back in 96. Distinctly remember arguing with a friend who agreed with you. I was and continued to be an avid recycler. And I was angry. I just didn't want to accept it. Why is there an emotional response to this?
Well, for some people, recycling really, it feels like the moral thing to do. One shouldn't waste. And there's this intuitive belief that this is doing some good for the community, for the environment. And to me, recycling seems very much like a religion, and it's very hard to dissuade people from religious beliefs. And I certainly respect, you know, people's feelings on this. And if people want to recycle, if it makes them feel good, and there are actually some studies that, you know, that many people will pay extra money to recycle. And that's fine. I don't want to interfere with anyone's right to do that. What I do think, though, is that it's not right to force everyone else to follow your religion, and it's not right to force taxpayers and communities to pay a higher price for something that is basically a religious ritual.
So you mentioned that it is more expensive to recycle, but what about the market for selling recyclables? Does that help offset the cost?
Well, that was the belief in the beginning. When New York City began recycling, it projected it was going to save money because it would, you know, basically be able to sell all this valuable stuff in garbage. In fact, that just hasn't happened. New York City, since it started in 1992, has probably spent more than $1 billion extra dollars on recycling. That if we had just put it in the landfill, it would have been that much cheaper. Now, as I say, some things, paper and cardboard and metal, they can be collected without too much trouble, and there is a market for reselling that stuff. But most of the other things, there just isn't that much of a market for, and it's fairly difficult to recycle. Glass is really is terrible to recycle because it breaks, it damages the recycling machinery, it contaminates all the other material. And then once you've separated out all these broken pieces of glass, you're left with something that is worthless, that you have to pay someone to take it off your hands. It's really, you know, it's a net loss. Plastic can sometimes be worthwhile, but you know, plastic and glass and most of the other stuff in garbage, it doesn't really, there isn't that much of a market for it. And now the main justification for recycling is that it reduces greenhouse emissions. because there's less need to manufacture new things, and mm-hmm. that means less carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. But again, paper, cardboard, and metals are the materials that really give you a good payoff in greenhouse emissions. The other stuff, just it doesn't reduce it that much. In fact, it's been calculated that if you rinse a plastic bottle in hot water before you put it in the recycling bin, that you may end up putting more carbon in the atmosphere simply by using that hot water and because of all the other energy involved.
But what happens to all of that plastic? Will that just sit in landfills for the next thousands of years?
Right, but that's good. I mean, there's carbon in that. It's a way of sequestering carbon in it. I mean, that plastic essentially was sitting in the ground as petroleum before. It's been taken out, you know, put to some use, and then it goes back into the ground. And in some ways, plastic is better to put in a landfill than other things because it doesn't degrade. I mean, one of the disadvantages of landfills is that organic material in there, it decomposes and it turns into methane, which is a greenhouse gas. And that is an objection to landfilling, but landfill operators have started capturing that methane and using it to generate electricity. But plastic doesn't cause that problem at all. So, you know, putting plastic in the ground isn't bad, but it's also, you can also incinerate it, as countries in Northern Europe and Japan do. They're very high-temperature, modern incineration plants that release very few pollutants. I mean, there are people that live next door to them. There are parks on top of them, I think, or right next to them. And that's not a bad thing to do with plastic.
Right, because I think often it ends up in waterways, too. I mean, we hear about the great garbage patch in the ocean, for example. It breaks down in teeny little pieces. Is it less likely to end up in the ocean if it is more likely to end up in a landfill, for example?
Well, it's not going to get from a landfill to the ocean. So, I mean, the problem is people that throw stuff on the ground. And it's been shown that if you want to reduce litter, you're better off doing that directly rather than trying to, you know, do a recycling or use deposits on bottles. That, you know, places that have the cleanest highways are places that actually spend money collecting litter rather than places with bottle deposits and things like that. Mm. And, you know, part of the problem with recycling is, I mean, when New York City started its program, it thought it was going to save money. It was more expensive, and so New York City had to cut back on street cleaning to make up for that budget shortfall. So in that sense, there was probably more trash on the streets that might have ended up in streams somehow.
We're speaking with John Tierney, who writes for the New York Times Science Times and wrote an article, a follow-up of sorts, to a 1996 piece he wrote about the wasted time, energy, and money of recycling. He has cycled back around and found, again, that it is an unsustainable business model and not really that good for the environment. Well, why are cities and towns increasing curbside recycling efforts, even adding curbside composting to the mix in some cases, if it is more expensive to sustain?
Well, because it's politically appealing to do. There's strong pressure from special interests, which are environmental groups, that they're lobbying for it. It feels like a good thing to say. Who can be in favor of waste? And the population has been so indoctrinated in it by both, you know, teachers through school and also the media have just covered recycling pretty much uncritically. I mean, when I wrote about it in 1996, the economists I talked to weren't surprised by this at all because, you know, they'd always assumed that this activity must have some problems. And it's certainly not true that it's good to recycle one material, you should therefore recycle everything. But this news shocked everyone else because no one in the media ever really wrote about this critically. So people have that assumption that it's just inherently good, and they don't realize how much it costs, and they don't realize how little good much of this stuff is really doing.
In your article, you write that a modern, well-lined landfill in a rural area can have relatively little environmental impact. But how about places like, you know, more densely populated New York City or Boston area up here in New England, where the trash will have to be trucked out? And therefore, you're back with the idea of letting more carbon into the air.
Well, the life cycle calculations take all that into account. I mean, when I cited that in the article, these life cycle calculations about what you do, I mean, recyclables have to be trucked around, too. I mean, there are extra trucks on the road to pick them up, and it depends where you live. And all this stuff really depends on local economics. And in some places, it's sensible to recycle stuff rather than landfill. But it all depends on local economics. And one of the big fallacies of the recycling movement is the idea there should be a national goal for recycling or there should be a statewide goal. It really depends on the local situation. If landfill space is really scarce, then recycling makes more sense. Or it makes more sense to build an incinerator, which is really a lot simpler. The problem with incinerators really is that they're fairly expensive by comparison with landfills. But they make more sense in urban areas where it's harder to get to. But New York City doesn't have any landfills. We send our stuff often by rail or by truck or by barge, and it goes to these communities that are prospering economically because of these landfills. I mean, I visited a place in Virginia that, you know, the landfill, they had just gorgeous new schools, cause, you know, and a new auditorium. They had much nicer schools than New York City has because they were making a fortune off this landfill. And it was tucked back in the woods. You didn't really know it was there. And it was a win-win.
John, you call it a religion, but there's a kind of awareness or consciousness that comes with it. I'm wondering if there's a danger of giving people a pass to do nothing to be aware of the environment. You know, people could run with this and say, see, recycling was pointless, a big waste of taxpayer money. Let's do nothing.
Well, I think you could argue both ways here. I think people feel that if they recycle, that, you know, therefore they've atoned for their sins. And as I mentioned in the article, that it takes recycling 40,000 plastic bottles to make up for one transatlantic plane trip. I mean, the big things that have greenhouse impacts are plane trips, country homes, but people think that if they recycle, well, then it's okay that I did this other stuff because I recycled.
Mm-hmm.
And the other point I would say is that the values it teaches are not values that I want my kid to learn. I understand some people like those values, and I respect that. But I went to a third grade science class that had spent their entire week studying garbage, and they were convinced that this was this huge problem, that the Earth was going to turn into a giant garbage dump unless they recycled every single thing. And I didn't like seeing them be scared that way, and I didn't like seeing them spend a whole week of science class studying garbage. I don't want my kids, you know, studying garbage. And I don't like teaching kids that, you know, their time is worth less than this garbage, that they should be spending a lot of valuable time thinking about garbage. I want him to learn about the uplifting things in life, real science.
Is that the alternative to recycling for, as you put it, I think, in the article, socially conscious, sensible persons?
I think that the simplest way to solve this would be to put the equivalent of a carbon tax on garbage. And one economist who's looked at all the environmental and social impacts of landfilling and recycling has calculated that if you put a $15 tax per ton on garbage that goes to a landfill, that would offset the social cost, the environmental cost. And I think if communities, you know, did that, you could devote the revenue from that to doing something to reduce carbon emissions, then people could choose in their community which materials make sense to recycle and which ones don't, instead of setting these arbitrary goals and feeling it's a moral responsibility. It's really more of an economic question, and I think that it's better to treat it that way.
Well, John, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
John Tierney, he's co-author of the best-selling book, Willpower. He writes the findings column for the Science Times section of the New York Times. And you'll find a link to read his opinion piece from the Sunday Review, The Reign of Recycling. There's a link at our website at wordofmouthradio.org.